So this beautiful woman is my daughter, Mandy. Thank you, guys. Thank you so, so, so much. Aren't they beautiful? Aren't they beautiful? Yes. You're going to have to bear with me a minute while I put myself back together. Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. That's a lot. And thank you, everyone, for allowing me to take over worship as well as first hour. Okay. Okay, Lord, here we go. So obviously, this teaching is a little personal for me, this session. And so, just bear with me. Also, I got so comfortable with my little platform down here all winter. Let me tell you, this is scary up here. I would much rather be on my little winter spot. It was a whole lot easier. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I need you today. I invite you into this space, into this message, into each and every woman's heart here today. As we talk about surrender, help us to open our hearts and minds to you, to what we are carrying, and to what you are asking us to give to you, to release and let go of. You know what we are carrying. You know what we are trying to hide from you. And we know that the only way we can find peace is to open it up and give it to you. Help us do that today. Lord, I am your empty vessel. This is your teaching, your message. Fill me with your words. Let all I do and say honor and glorify you. Amen. Okay, so we are going to talk about surrender. I'm going to get my clicker. I'm going to learn back how to do this, even though I'm way up here in the scary spot and feeling a little shaky. So, okay, here we go. Okay. So what is surrender? Like Connie, God gives me a word every year. And 2 years ago, he gave me surrender. And I did a good girl, and I tried, and I remembered it all year. And then last year, I thought, okay, I get a new word. And I chose ease. I thought, okay, I'm going to ease into this year. This is going to be okay. And he said, oh, no, we're going to do surrender again. I've never had two words in a row, same in a row. This year is enough, and so I'm just going to be enough, and he's going to do the work today. So what do you think of when I say the word surrender? We think of, I don't think that's where I'm supposed to be, and I don't care. You're on page 29 in your workbook? Good job. Almost like you've done this before, right? So surrender, we think of letting go, giving up. We think of Abraham laying Isaac on the altar. We think of Jesus going to the cross. Well, the world calls surrender ceasing resistance to an enemy or opponent and submitting to their authority, letting go, giving up, and losing the battle. Our old black and white movies, it's raising the white flag, right? We lose, they win. God has a different plan. Christian surrender, biblical surrender, is humbling ourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. He says all our anxieties. He wants it all. Not just the pretty ones that we've polished up and made to look okay to open up and give him. He wants the raw and real parts of you. He wants it all. I love this. This I discovered this time. In Hebrew, the word surrender means, let me get my pronunciation, hineni, hineni. And there's a beautiful song. And it translates to, here I am. A total surrender of one's will, presence, and availability to God. Actively aligning ourselves under the divine authority rather than passive defeat raising the white flag. This is not a give it up and do nothing. We see this all over Scripture. In Genesis 22:1, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, he said, here I am. Three times the Lord called Samuel and said, here I am. 1 Samuel 3:4. The Lord called Moses from the burning bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Exodus 3:4. And my favorite, and words I try to say often, in Isaiah 6:8, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, Lord, send me. This is more than a, hey, I'm over here. This is a, it's not giving up, it's giving in. It's yielding and releasing everything we are carrying. Stepping into the open arms of Jesus. Embracing and receiving the peace that he offers. Our entire Christian faith begins with surrender. It's believing in a God that we can't see. It's trusting before we see the end of what circumstances we're going through. And no matter what that enemy throws at us, it's knowing that God is there fighting with us, for us. Taking what was meant for evil and using it, not removing it or preventing it, but repurposing it for good and his purpose. And for the saving of many lives, like they say in Genesis, like it is said in Genesis 50:20. Each and every one of the topics in this session began with surrender. Trusting, humility, waiting, grace, deeds, forgiveness, it all starts with surrender. So what are we supposed to surrender? Everything and everyone. Surrender your anger, your fears, your battles, your pride, your plans, your circumstances, your loved ones, your timelines, your expectations, control. We aren't in control. The outcomes, the whys, the hows, and the whens. Everything. The Bible is full of wonderful examples of surrender, obedience, and seeing God's hand in the conclusion. So this morning I'm going to talk about one you might not be quite as familiar with. So open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 20, if you'd like. If not, you're just going to ramble through it with me. Second Chronicles 20, there you go. If I'd have pushed the button when I'm supposed to, you would have seen it. I'm a little less shaky, but I'm still a mess. So here we go. But this is just, I heard this in a teaching, I don't know, probably 6 or 7 years ago, not done this way, but, and I had never read that one really, not studied it, so this helped. So, verse 2, King Jehoshaphat learns that he's about to enter into a battle that there is no possible way he can win. He is afraid. So, he sets his face to seek the Lord. I just love that phrase. He sets his face to seek the Lord. There's lots of really good lessons. So the first one is we set our face to seek the Lord. We seek him. Too often we think the answer is to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, work harder, faster, stronger, do more. Solve this problem with our own limited strength and understanding. That's not God's way. Verse 12, we see King Jehoshaphat again crying out to the Lord, "We are powerless against this great horde. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." So when you feel powerless, you feel like you don't know what to do, you acknowledge that you're alone, you can't do it alone, you put your eyes on him. Ladies, when you face a great horde of illness, loss of a job or a loved one, and you feel powerless and don't have answers, acknowledge you can't do it without him. You can't do it alone. That's the first part of surrender. I can't do this. I can't do this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. Lord, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to lift my eyes up from my circumstances, and I'm going to look to you. Then God tells them, nope, missed one. Verse 13, he gathered all of Judah, men, wives, little ones, and children. No one is left out. It isn't just the army. He gathered everyone. So gather your people. Gather your prayer warriors. We aren't meant to fight these battles alone. The enemy wants us isolated. He wants us cowering alone. This is where we fight our battles, with our people. Then God tells them where the enemy will be. We learned from Jennifer in the winter session, for those of you who are here, know who the real enemy is. Don't bicker and battle against each other when it's Satan that's stirring up everything, destroying our peace. He is the true enemy. Verse 15, God assures them this is not their battle to fight. Okay? So what do they do? Their part is to stand firm, hold their position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. It didn't say work harder, move faster, make a better sword. He said to just take up your position. Our battle position is most assuredly on our knees, pouring out our fears, our sorrows, and our battles to the Lord. No matter the outcome of any hard season, you can trust that God is with you, and he will use it to grow you, to draw you closer into a deeper relationship with him. In verse 18, we see mighty King Jehoshaphat bow down with his head and face to the ground. That's a pretty good visualization of humble. And all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. That's your posture. That's your battle position. Worship transforms everything. Being thankful in our trials, not for them. No, I don't want that, thank you very much. But I've got it, and so I'm going to look for God in it because he is there. He is always there. But we have to look. Praise God amidst the mess, not just when it's finished. Oh, it's healed. Oh, it's better. Praise be the Lord. That's great. But we also need to praise him when we're in the middle of the mud. Next, verse 21. The king gathers the choir dressed in royal attire. So all you choir ladies, put on your choir robes. And he sent the choir ahead of the soldiers. See them? See the soldiers way in the back with their spears and their shields? He sent the choir ahead of the soldiers, singing, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." Ahead of the soldiers. Not a usual military tactic, right? Choir ladies, you ready for that job? They fought this battle not with power and strategy and might, but through trust, obedience, humble surrender, prayer, praise, and worship. Verse 24, when Judah came to the watchtower and looked toward the great horde, behold, there were dead bodies lying on the ground. None had escaped. The battle was over. Such a beautiful example of following God. Looks so different than what the world says. That didn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. Choir first, bow down and praise. They weren't sharpening swords. They weren't gathering more men. Men, women, children, little ones were all in it. Good thing to remember. Okay. My little journey with surrender. I shared several parts of my journey through surrender and obedience in the winter session. My story, like most, has layers and layers of surrendering, taking it back, surrendering again. I don't think it's a one and done. It's seasons of surrendering different things and obeying God's prompting, like doing this teaching today. Even and especially when it doesn't make sense or feel good, then learning, looking for him, and growing closer to God over and over and over. I think the journey that God prompted me to share with you is one that started way at the beginning, early in my Christian walk, and changed my life forever. In 1991, I got some fun. Here we go. So you met Mandy. So in 1991, Jim and I, my hubby, were learning how to be adults and parenting these two beautiful daughters that God gave us. Life was good, going along as we planned and how we expected it. When Jenny was about 3 years old, during a routine doctor visit, the doctor suggested she needed a developmental evaluation. I don't even know what that means. And I thought, well, that can't possibly be necessary. Jenny walked at 10 months. She was happy, healthy, wonderful little child. Just didn't talk very much. A few months later, after hours and hours of observing Jenny, blood work, genetic testing, a CAT scan, we were told incredibly bluntly, Jenny was diagnosed with moderate mental retardation. Due to heavy metal exposure, we learned later, most likely from the well we lived in, private well. We lived there till Jenny was 10 months old. We were then given a long list of would-nevers. She would never drive. She would never be able to live alone. She would never care for herself. Oh, and by the way, we would like to test your older daughter, Mandy, who has tagged along to all the appointments because Daddy was at work. Mandy was later diagnosed with mild mental retardation. While the list was shorter, our world was shaken, to say the least. And I am sorry to say that their lists were correct. These are my girls now. Jenny, now 37, she functions at about a three-year-old level. She is my forever preschooler. And she loves Winnie the Pooh, Sesame Street, little pegboard kits, music, singing, and as you can see, stuffed animals. I tell people I meet, she's just a really tall three-year-old. And they nod and smile, and then everything goes a lot smoother. Mandy, who you met this morning, my beautiful signer, is my forever middle schooler. She's a voracious reader, loves arts and crafts. She made that beautiful painting. Talking on the phone with her friends, matching her outfit to her earrings, to her shoes, and to the activity of the day. So if they're going to the zoo, the shirt has to have animals on it. If she's going bowling, she wears her bowling socks with the bowling balls. Really important stuff. Mandy and her peers, like these beautiful signers you met today, are the most open, accepting, welcoming people you will ever meet in this world, in spite of their limitations. We could learn a lot from their example. Back to my story. After the shock of the diagnosis, Jim and I did what we could. We learned, we grew our happy little family that didn't quite fit what we had planned or expected. And 6 years later, God blessed us with two more amazing girls, Beth and Tessa, who blessed us with three and one on the way grandbabies. Tessa's going to have a little girl in December. I am so thankful that God allowed me to have one foot in both worlds, that of the disabled and that of ordinary kids. I heard it best described once that having a child with a disability is like getting on an airplane to go to Hawaii. You are so excited. You've been planning. You've got all these expectations. You've got everything figured out. And you get off the airplane, and you're in Holland. And it's pretty, but you don't know anything about Holland. And that's not what I expected. And that's not what I planned. And now what am I supposed to do? Pretty good example. I think someone even wrote a book about it. You give up all your expectations of what your life was supposed to look like. What you thought and what life would be. You also give up all your expectations for them. Getting married, having their life, children. It's a big change. So fast forward a few years. We're doing our new normal, attending church. I was growing in my walk at a women's Bible study. We were in Buckeye at the time. Walking through the book of John. As he passed by, he saw a blind man from birth. Blind from birth. And his disciple asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him." What? Wait. That the works of God might be displayed in him. This is us. This is Mandy and Jenny. This changed my life. It was a turning point from focusing on lack and loss to the beginning of surrender. Accepting and beginning to really see my girls as God wanted me to see them. Not broken, in need of fixing, but made beautiful and wonderful. Not as a trial, but as a gift and a blessing. that God's work, light, love, purpose, and glory might shine through them. Has it been easy? Nope. Are there times I slip? Oh, yeah. But I wouldn't change a single thing. Actually, all of us, my whole family, are who we are because God gave us Mandy and Jenny. Beth and Tessa and even their husbands went on to work with individuals with disabilities. Am I on the right page? Yeah. And oh, the people God brought into my life through my girls, like Kathy Lilly, like my good friend Leslie, and many others. Many who have passed, many who are still a big part of our life. I'm not in it alone, and that makes all the difference. They share the journey. God continued to draw me to himself and began the gentle work of helping me accept them for who he made them to be. He introduced us to Special Olympics, VIP soccer, and special education, where we met and learned from other parents of children with special needs, and our acceptance and understanding grew. It was hard to choose which ones to show you because I have lots. And it also opened opportunities for the girls to flourish with their true peers. These are Mandy's peers, and this is where she belongs. And you have to fight the system sometimes to get there. But I was done pounding, trying to fit a round peg into a square hole, and it was time to let her be her. And Jenny, too. You experienced John 9:1. This morning in live action during worship, this beautiful group of God's children perform a couple times a month, shining his light and love and glory on all they meet. Did it change how you see them? Do you see them as beautiful? Do you see them as beautiful? Mandy signs anytime in church that she knows the song. And a couple months ago, she was doing Amazing Grace just in the pew, just off by herself, just, you know. And that's when I knew I had to bring them up. And I'm so thankful that I did. Thank you. Seeing them differently, seeing them beautiful, is only possible by surrender. How we see them, allowing them to be exactly who they are, doing what makes them happy. God's light and love shines through them more than it ever will through me. My girls are not here to learn. God didn't put them on this earth to grow and learn. He put them on this earth to teach us how to accept, how to surrender, how to be a better person. And how to find joy even when there's a trial. Is there someone in your life who could benefit from your change of seeing them? Remembering John 1-3, that the works of God might be displayed in him, reminds me that God is in them. They are more his than they are mine. And that helps bring peace and purpose to it all. Is surrender easy? Heck no. Sometimes when we pray, we receive a yes. Yay. Sometimes we receive a no. Sometimes when we ask God, can you just take this cup from me? His response might be no, because I have something wonderful in it for you. Will you look? Will you trust? Will you follow me through it? God doesn't waste anything. He doesn't make mistakes. Mandy and Jenny are just the way they are supposed to be. And Jim and I are the parents that they needed. I now see God layers the good. in lessons and seasons to grow us into the women he created us to be. His fingerprints are all over our stories if we just look. Teaching preschool gave me a much better understanding of Jenny, my forever preschool girl. I used to try out my little arts and crafts on her first, and if she could figure them out and she enjoyed them, then I knew the kids would. Preschool then became teaching chapel, which I just love, and prepared me for these first hour teachings. This silly no podium, little pieces of paper of notes, came from preschool and chapel. Because you can't teach little kids standing still. You have to find a way to do it on the fly, so you're really just my preschoolers. So, yeah. Trusting God doesn't mean I have all the answers. It means I believe that He does. When you can't change it, all you can do is release it. And hear this, ladies. God's peace begins where your control ends. What in your life didn't turn out the way you expected? What keeps you up at 3 a.m? What are you clutching and clinging to, willing to give Him that, but not this? What do you fully need to surrender to the Lord? There's lines in your notebook. God can't use what we don't give Him. That thing you're clutching and holding and afraid to give up, it's time to give it away. Give it all, everything, and everyone to Him. When you feel yourself slip and try to snatch it back, immediately ask Him to bless that person or that situation. See, it doesn't make sense, kind of like our Second Chronicles story, but it changes everything. And it takes away a little bit of that angst in your heart that we don't want anyway. Open your hands and heart to what He has for you. You have to have open hands to receive. A few surrender strategies that I have learned that have helped me let go of my striving and struggling. The first one is I visualize putting everyone and everything that I'm clutching in a soft blue blanket. And I wrap it up and I just put it in Jesus' arms. And then I let go. And He'll take care of them. The next one, I know you've all heard of breath prayers. They are powerful. I was doing several in the closet this morning. Yes. One of my favorites, Yahweh. Yahweh is the name of God. Remember in the winter we learned our souls, our nefesh, our very breath within us is God's breath breathed into us. A baby's first breath, their first cry, speaks the name of God. A deep sigh, a groan, a gasp calls His name. When we're too heavy for words, that's okay. Just say His name. So, using this breath prayer, you breathe Him in. Yeah. And you breathe out everything you're holding. Hoy. Yeah. Hoy. Try it with me. Yeah. It helps. So the next, another one I like to use, see if I can do this. Sorry, Linda, I know I moved the tables. Oh, it went in real easy at home. Okay. Leave your well at the jar. Leave your jar at the well. Or, you know, okay. You know, if you want to be picky, yeah, all right. Okay. See it, all right. I got junk everywhere, I know. Give me a second. Okay. John 4:28. The Samaritan woman left her jar at the well. Let me find the right paper. It's easier in preschool. I should just throw them on the floor when I'm done. Yeah. Okay. Okay. John 4:4-42. We see Jesus have an encounter with a Samaritan woman who was defined by her past, lugging her heavy jar. It's much bigger than that one, but that one looks really good in my dining room. And I used it as a prop in a second hour teaching, if you all were there. That was a fun one. So she's lugging her jar to fill with water in the heat of the day to avoid the stares and sneers and judgments of others. Jesus responds, he's waiting there for her, because he's always waiting there for us too. Jesus responds to the facts about who she is, revealing the truth of who he is. And through this, she becomes new and free. Free from her labels, from her past sins, to accept who Jesus says she is. Changing her life forever. She leaves her jar and runs back to the village. So ladies, my question for you is, what do you need to leave at the well with Jesus? What label, what scar, what hurt, what pain are you carrying day after day after day? Place it in the jar and leave it with Jesus. My other fun one. That's my dining room. And my little hutch, this is sitting on top, but I chopped it off, sorry. So, this beautiful bowl that I rescued from a thrift store for 75 cents. I love thrift stores. And I lovingly restored it and brought it back to life. It brought me so happy. And it sits on my dining room table, a perfect centerpiece, because I like things simple and clean. Well, it just kind of became a powerful tool of surrender. I put the bowl on my table, and one day, Daddy gave me a thumb drive, you know, those SD things, USB. Yeah, old SD was before. Sorry, Pam, I know better. I was given a thumb drive with precious home movies that I haven't seen since the old 8mm, you know, that we used to pop popcorn and hang the sheet on the wall from my childhood. A time when my mom was whole during a season when she was anything but. Every time I tried to watch those movies, my heart just clenched. And I knew I wasn't ready and I just couldn't face it. Couldn't see it. So I'm sitting at the table, I just put it in the bowl. And every time someone would mention the movies, my sister loved them, she watched them all the time, I'm like, I could just, in my mind, say to myself, it's not the right time for me, it's in the bowl. Then one day, I don't know how, it became, it's in the God bowl. As the name changed, so did my heart. Now I mentally or physically put things in the God bowl. I surrender by giving them to God, by putting them in there. Remind my heart, it isn't mine to carry. Nope, that's in the God bowl. I just leave it alone and walk away. Still hurts. No, I haven't watched the movies yet. I will someday. Will the enemy keep poking me with his sharp stick over and over it? Oh, most assuredly. But our God is bigger. His armor, my shield of faith, blocks everything that snake can throw at me. So I just remember to put on the armor. My last little thing that I thought of, was reminded of last night. It's a little harder to see. Let me see. We'll use my God bowl. Oh, I see there's something I wrote and put in the God bowl. Yeah. It's a real deal. It's not fake. It's a little tiny camel. And because I thought of it last night, I didn't have a neat slide for it. This is a little tiny excerpt from something I read from Amanda Voss. For centuries, so picture a camel a little bigger than this one. For centuries, traders relied on camels to carry heavy loads over long distances. That's not the paper. Each morning, the camel bows before his master to receive its load. Then it stands strong and carries what it has been given. At the day's end, they bow again before the master to unload the goods and rest. The camel carries only what the master gives, no more, no less, and leaves everything at the master's feet each evening. This spoke to me so much that I hunted, this was Etsy, where I finally found him, and I put this little camel where I can see it every single day. Because I'm a little bit of a pack it on, do more, help serve. I can do that too. Yes, let me help. Until this camel self can't stand. And so she reminds me to only carry what God gives me. Letting Jesus right side my load for today and remove it tonight, granting me rest. Though the fig tree should not blossom, so what do you need to let go of? Wait a minute, yeah. Only carry what God gives me. Let everything else slide off your back and land in the sand. And it helps, it really helps. Ask yourself, did God really give that to me today? Or is that the snake piling on more and more and more? Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice. I will take joy in the Lord of my salvation. Habakkuk 3:8, my very first hour teaching. It took years for me to accept this trial that I shared with you today, this different life than I expected and planned for. I can't change it, but I can choose how I let it change me. I can be bitter, or I can choose to look for the good in it. Some days are easier than others, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Our part is surrender and obey. God's part is everything else. We don't tell him how to fix it, when to fix it. A little faster would be nice. No, you know, you just lay it down. You just lay it down. Whatever method works for you, let it go. Our part is surrendering and obeying. I did that. Only in surrendering everything and everyone, including ourselves, to God, can we allow joy to return. We can't fix it or strive harder through it, so release it and receive what Jesus is offering. In surrender, we find God's purpose and good. When we make room in our heart for God to write his story, only then can our trials become our testimony. Only if you let God use it. Life will throw all kinds of things at you, ladies, that you can't control. We can wish life was smooth and easy, but it's in the trials that our roots grow deep, reaching that living water that Jesus offers. Depending on our own understanding and our relationship with him. Deepening our understanding, not depending. That's the opposite, right? That's what we think we're supposed to do. We can't alter the past, but we can lay it on the altar once and for all. C.S. Lewis says it well. You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. So whatever you did do before, leave it. Throw it in the jar on your way out. Start fresh. In surrender, we find God's purpose and good. She's a happy girl some days. I actually wrote this teaching before I did winter. But oh, how God used it to draw me to him a couple weeks ago when I came back and touched it again. In doing so, I actually tripped over verse 4. I got it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed through my girls. But verse 4, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. So I will stay the course. I will set my face to seek the Lord. I will keep abiding, dwelling, and learning, following him one day at a time, one step at a time. And with the Lord's help, he will see me through. And I will continue to work the works of him who sent me. And I hope you will too. There's a cute little, sweet little story in your handbook. It's an illustration of surrender through an adventure on a two-seater bicycle. Jim and I actually had one when we were first married. They're a lot harder to ride than you think. But I've got time, so we're going to read it. It's nice. So I used to think of God as an observer, my judge, keeping track of the things I did wrong so as to know whether I merited heaven or hell when I die. He was out there sort of like the president. I recognized his picture when I saw it, but I didn't really know him. But later on, when I met Jesus, it seemed as though life was rather like a bike, but a tandem bike. And I noticed that Jesus was in the back helping me pedal. I didn't know just when he suggested that we change, but life has not been the same since I took the back seat to Jesus, my Lord. He makes life exciting. When I had control, I thought I knew the way. It was rather boring and predictable. It was the shortest distance between two points. But when he took the lead, he knew delightful shortcuts up mountains and through rocky places at breakneck speeds. It was all I could do to hang on, even though it often looked like madness. He said, pedal. I was worried and anxious and asked, where are you taking me? He laughed and didn't answer. Yeah, I get that. And I started to learn to trust. I forgot my boring life, and I entered into adventure. When I'd say I'm scared, he'd lean back and touch my hand. He took me to people with gifts that I needed, gifts of healing, acceptance, and joy. They gave me their gifts to take on my journey, our journey, my Lord and mine, my Lord's and mine. And we were off again. He'd say, give the gifts away. They're extra baggage, too much weight. So I did. To the people we met, and I found in giving, I received. And still our burden was light. I did not trust him at first in control with my life. I thought he'd wreck it. But he knows bike secrets. He knows how to make it bend, to take sharp corners, to jump, to clear big rocks, high rocks, fly to shorten scary passages. And I am learning to shut up and pedal in the strangest of places. And I'm beginning to enjoy the view and the cool breeze on my face with my delightful constant companion, Jesus. And when I'm sure I just can't do it anymore, he looks back and smiles and says, pedal. So ladies, when life gets hard, just pedal. Thank you. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for calming my heart and sharing your message with these ladies. Help them to have a blessed second hour and to carry this with them. Help them to let go of what they are holding too tightly and to just pedal. Amen. Have a blessed second hour.